I'm Cheryl Bruno, and you're listening to Gospel Tangents.
Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. When did Joseph Smith learn the Masonic ceremonies? Was it in Kirtland or Nauvoo? Historian Cheryl Bruno is going to answer that question, and we'll find out when Joseph Smith became a Mason. Check out our conversation. Hey, I just wanted to mention one other thing. As you know, Gospel Tangents is part of the Dialogue Podcast Network, and we've teamed up with Lyceum.fm, that's Lyceum.fm, and you can hear our episodes along with Beyond the Block and Dialogue Podcast Network. So if you want to check it out there, it's still free, although they do have some premium things as well. So go to Lyceum.fm and you can hear Gospel Tangents as well as some of your other favorite episodes of part of the Dialogue Podcast Network. Now back to our conversation. So is there any evidence in Kirtland that Joseph was a Mason then? Or is it not quite
no,
that developed
and
yet?
Some people believe that Joseph may have been a Mason earlier than Nauvoo, but I don't believe that. I believe that he knew quite a bit about Masonry. It was in his family, his brother-in-laws, his uncles. His father and his brother were Masons, and with the Morgan Affair, there were many books written, exposés written about it, so I'm sure that he knew a lot about it. In fact, there used to be traveling companies that would go around and give shows showing what the Masonic ritual looked like, so he could have attended those and seen the actual ritual being played out. But I do not believe he was a Mason before Nauvoo.
Okay, so it was really the Nauvoo period when he got into that.
Right.
So as I understand it, I believe that he was, and I don't know the right language, but he was like commissioned as a Mason on site or something? Can you tell us about
that? Okay. This is another thing I sort of don't agree with the common wisdom. So that they believe that he was made a Mason at site, which Abraham Jonas was the Grand Master in Illinois, and he had the ability to just make someone a Mason instead of the person learning about Masonry and learning all the ritual and then becoming, you know, having their, like, they usually took quite a period of time between the entered apprentice and the fellow craft and the Master Mason. They could just make you a Master Mason right away. But I don't believe that particular thing happened, that he was made a Mason on site, because there were certain things that had to happen, like you had to open up a certain kind of a lodge in order for that to happen, and those things were not done exactly the way they needed to be done. I also write about that in the book. But it is true that they were made, he was made a Mason, a fellow craft, and then a Master Mason quickly within the period of 2 days. An apprentice and a fellow craft and a Master Mason very quickly.
Well, it's still very, very quick.
Yes.
Now, if I understand it right, don't they have to, like, memorize the ceremony in order to become a Mason, or a Master Mason at least?
Well, yes, they have to memorize certain things and they have to know the certain things. But I believe that Joseph was just very good at, and he knew the ceremony, I think, pretty well before he ever became a Mason. So I don't think it was difficult for him to learn the things that he needed to know.
Because isn't it pretty secret to learn?
But see, at the period, that's the thing, is the period of time, it was not secret. It was very well known because there were these exposés that came out after the Morgan Affair and anti-Masonry. They wanted everyone to know exactly what was happening, exactly what oaths were being taken. And so people of the United States knew. It would be like trying to not know about Batman or something. You just know that because it's cultural. Right. If you meet an American that doesn't know who Batman is, you'd think, boy, that person's been in a closet somewhere. And so this was the same way with Masonry. Everyone just knew a lot about it.
That's interesting.
Following the Morgan Affair, because it was just in the air. It was everywhere.
Okay. So when do we have any idea what year approximately when Joseph started getting interested in Masonry?
I believe he was interested in Masonry practically from the cradle to the grave. like Nick Letursky likes to say. He was always interested in Masonry. But when he actually became involved in the organization of Masonry was 1841, 1842, when they began a lodge in Nauvoo.
Okay. Now, I know Dan Vogel also said that he felt that the reason why Joseph embraced Masonry was also because he was also introducing polygamy at the same time. And Masonry has these secret oaths, or you swear to secrecy. And so, do you think that polygamy has a role with this secrecy? That, you know, that's why Joseph introduced...
I don't believe it's the reason why he introduced it, but I do think it has to do with the secrecy. I think there were several secret organizations that Joseph was... that they were based on Masonry, that Joseph had to bind his followers to him. Like, he had the Nauvoo Legion, he had the secret police, he had the Quorum of the Anointed, he had the Council of the 50, and then he had his Masonic group, and we have the Relief Society. So all those organizations had these, they all bound his followers to him and had aspects of secrecy to them. So, yeah, well, I think Freemasonry does have to do with polygamy in that way, that they were very closely connected.
Okay. So would it be appropriate to say that he embraced polygamy in order to keep, or excuse me, he embraced Masonry in order to keep polygamy a secret?
No, I think there was much more going on than just that. I think he believed that he was going to be the Masonic restorer that was almost prophesied in Masonry. They believed that true Masonry was going to be restored, and I think Joseph Smith thought he was the person that was going to be doing that.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. So, as I understand it, it seems like Joseph's job as... in Masonry was to be a chaplain. Does that sound right?
No.
That's not right. All right.
So he had he acted as and I can't remember the exact term for it either, but it was I think a chaplain when the Masonic Lodge was organized. That was just one day, and he actually acted in that Masonic position before he was even a Mason, which is very strange and unusual. Hmm. But that wasn't a calling or a position that he held. He just acted as that unusually on that one occasion.
Oh, so it was just a one-time thing?
Yes.
Because I know I was recently listening to a podcast, I think it was Greg Kearney, and I thought that was what he said, was that Joseph was a chaplain and he just sat back and observed a lot of the ceremonies for a long time. So that's not true.
No, that's not true at all.
Oh.
It was a one, that particular position was a one-time thing that Joseph Smith did, but it was unusual in the fact that he shouldn't have been able to do that on that day because he wasn't a Mason yet.
Hmm. Okay. So that was just a one-time thing. So how did Joseph get familiar with the Masonic ceremonies?
Well, I mean, he, like I said, he was familiar with it from quite early.
So he was familiar with it just from learning it?
Right, but then in March of 1842, he became a Mason, and we don't have any evidence that Joseph Smith ever acted in a certain position in the lodge at all. When we have him coming to the lodge, and a lot of people like to say that he only went to the lodge three times, but that's not true. He went quite frequently during that 2 years before he died. But when he went, he just went as a normal member of the lodge and did not serve in any of the positions of leadership. However, I think he was behind the scenes very influential, just because as president of the church and as the prophet, he had a lot of control over all of the organizations in Nauvoo.
Okay. So one of the other things I understand is that Joseph felt that the Masonic ceremonies had been corrupted and that he was restoring true Masonry
yes,
through
yes.
the temple ceremony.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I think even like when he was born, I think his father actually thought of him as the person who was going to do that, to restore masonry, and I think he was brought up that way. And I really think that that's what he was doing with masonry in Nauvoo, that he was restoring it to its true form. So what I'll be talking about in my talk in Sunstone tomorrow is a little bit about this. George Oliver had a Masonic legend that he talked about where King Solomon, when he built the temple, brought in the true Masons, who were the Jewish workmen, and he also brought in workmen from Tyre, under Hiram of Tyre, who were the spurious Masons, and he united them together as they built the temple. And that's what I believe Joseph Smith was doing with Masonry in Nauvoo, is that he was joining the Masonic institution in the United States, which he saw as spurious Masonry, and then he was uniting it with his restored and true form of ritual, and that he was going to try to bring that all together into one.
Okay. So, because I know there are a lot of Masonic symbols that have been used in the temple ceremonies, and I certainly don't want to say anything I'm not supposed to say. From what I understand, a lot of these symbols in Masonry have completely different meanings than in an LDS context. Is that a fair statement?
Well, I would say that a lot of people don't understand the connection between Mormonism and Masonry, because Mormonism in the 19th century, especially temple work in the 19th century, was very different than what it is today. We know there's been a lot of changes. And the same has happened with Masonry. There's been a lot of changes. So when you compare today's Masonry with today's Mormonism, there isn't much of a interconnection. But when you look at 19th century, when you look at Joseph Smith's Masonry and Joseph Smith's Mormonism, you see a much more, the symbols mesh a lot more. When you look at the five...
And you're saying this is due to changes in both the Mormon ceremonies and the Masonic ceremonies?
Right, and so they've gone apart.
Okay.
And so they were much more interconnected in Joseph Smith's day, and you could see the relationship in the symbols. Now, Joseph Smith didn't just take the Masonic ritual and put it into the Nauvoo Temple. Joseph Smith was a ritualist, and he was quite a good ritualist. And so what he did was he made his own ceremony, but it still is very, very Masonic, and the symbols are very Masonic, and they, I believe, have the same, much of the same meanings when you look at them back in historically.
Okay. So it's clear that Joseph kind of believed that he was restoring the Masonic ceremony to the true ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with historian Cheryl Bruno. In our next conversation, we'll find out about other Mormon groups that had Masonic ceremonies.
We look at the Strangites, and they had a temple ceremony that was very Masonic.
Oh, really?
Yes, they had the organization that they had was brought in from John Bennett.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please subscribe to patreon.com/gospeltangents, and for just $5 a month, you can hear the entire interview without any interruption. If you'd like a paperback version of our transcripts, go to amazon.com and do a search for Gospel Tangents Interview. Also, if you'd like to give the money to me and not Amazon, please subscribe on my website, and I'll be able to send you a transcript as soon as they are completed, and click the subscribe button. You can also find our latest information on facebook.com/gospeltangents, as well as we're on Twitter @gospeltangents. And don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts. The link is at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents, and you can subscribe there. Also, please give us a 5-star review. If you want to support all of the podcasts as part of the Dialogue Podcast Network, go to lyceum.fm, that's lyceum.fm, and do a search for Dialogue Podcast Network or Gospel Tangents, because, you know, that's a pretty cool one too. Thanks again for listening. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some of our great videos. Thanks again.